Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome and good evening once again for the 9th of May 2011. Thank you very much to Lisa and Lonstar, the Hang Ten guys. And tonight you're joined by Cookie.
I'm Jack.
I'm Kevin.
And we'd like to thank you for joining us in the Cubby House live this week. This week, indeed, because we're talking about masculinity.
That's right, Vincent Price. Thank you for introducing our program this week. This week, our topic on the Cubby House Project is lady bears, trans bears, and the masculinity issue. That this is a whole masculinity thing, that it's a little bit elusive. So we're going to crack its nut and eat at its juicy core.
Apparently the testosterone may fly tonight.
Apparently so, so we've heard. So we are going to be, first of all, talking about what is masculinity. Following that, we are also discussing how females and trans sit in a very male-dominated subculture.
We'll then also be tackling, is masculinity genuine or is it a learned behaviour?
Lady Gaga had something to say about that, something like, born this way? Something like that. Also, our SMS topic, what is your favourite masculine trait? You can send in your SMSs to 0427-JOY-949. That is 0427-JOY-949.
You can also email onair@joy.org.au. Now, Jack, I believe you missed out last week, but how do you know that we're live on radio?
You know that we're live on radio because my cunt is a conduit to all existence.
You are with the three cubs, Cookie, Jack, and Kevin.
Ooh, wait, what's this?
That was all of a sudden very dramatic.
That is actually a very different player that I was using there for a second
Very epic sting right there.
Indeed.
Suitably epic for our masculinity episode.
So masculine we had to even pull in a bear himself. Yes, hello to Raymond.
Don't look around, we're talking about you.
Oh, me. Okay, hello. Hi.
Hello, Raymond. Hello.
You're going to make me sound masculine on this, won't you?
I'm sorry, we don't have computers that can do that. Apparently they can do it to Justin Bieber, but Joy Only 4.9 is a radio, community radio organisation that we just can't afford that sort of space-age technology.
So no auto-tune either.
No, but we do like the natural sound of your voice, which actually does sound very Tomba.
Why, thank you.
Yes. Now, we are going to jump into this with that in mind. First of all, what is masculinity? And I would like to ask this question of you in terms of the textbook definition and what it has been perceived up until the modern time.
A textbook? What's that good for?
I don't know. Giving us a starting point I was hoping for.
I was going to say stopping the table from wobbling.
I was going to say getting Jack off, but all right.
I would like to first reference Wikipedia, which references the Collins
Wikipedia
Dictionary.
Is not a good source.
Yes, but it actually references another source.
Okay, Jack. Sorry, Cookie, just get your reference out, please.
Thank you.
Quiet, Jack.
Do you want me to hold him down?
Not yet. In many cultures, the basic characteristics of masculinity include physical prowess, courage, wisdom, and honourable or righteous behaviour. Now, that is what they define as masculine, as opposed to what is not masculine, which I think we could probably define more better tonight than anything, that is encompassed in the term epicene, which, if you wanted to look up what epicenity means, is also referencing things like androgyny, asexuality, and effeminacy.
So, in other words, it is not femininity, which is the opposite of masculine, but it is
merely
the
lack thereof.
The lack of masculinity.
Yes.
Kind of how love and war are the same thing, and apathy is the opposite of those two.
Exactly. Exactly. So
it is a funny one, though, because people, you've got your androgyny, which shows both attributes, and you've got your femininity, which shows your female attributes, whereas epicenity is the lack of, almost to a, if you can imagine like a shop dummy, not having quite male or female attributes.
Okay. So given that that's what has been defined by the Collins Dictionary as masculine, what would you have considered masculine up until this point of discussion?
Well, I think that the very way that you're phrasing this entire topic is a bit of a misnomer.
Okay.
That within gender studies, but also within trans identities and the like, we tend to draw a fairly hard distinction between one's sex and between a person's gender. A person's sex is their physicality. It's about them inhabiting a, quote, male, quote, female, quote, body.
Do you mean the dangly bits?
The dangly bits, or a person's chromosomical or whatever it is, makeup. And then you've got gender, which is perhaps, say, a person's social role, that it's how society understands what to make of sexual differences. And these are very fluid throughout time. They're very fixed. They're constantly changing. And with that, so does what it means to be a man and a woman.
Actually, well, going back to Cookie's definition there, there's actually something very interesting I'll point out. Of the different things that you used as your definition from Wikipedia, what a wonderful source it is, only one of those is a physical attribute.
The physical prowess.
The physical prowess. Courage and wisdom, and also honourable and righteous behaviour, is also classified as masculine.
Hmm.
So is it more so who we are or what we do that defines us as masculine?
Well, if you're taking a sex perspective, sex is something that you are, while gender is something that you do, that many people would argue that everything that you do, particularly in regards to gender, is a performance.
But then the question gets raised, though, that if it is about what you do, then can you have someone who looks like Pamela Anderson doing an honourable or a righteous thing, or showing courage and wisdom, and therefore showing masculine behaviours, while being a very feminine woman?
Okay, did you ever actually watched Barbed Wire?
Or Red Sonja?
No, actually, I need...
Xena!
The only thing I've seen of Pamela Anderson was Stripperella.
Okay, so...
Well, what a nice way to kill a topic.
Yes.
Anyway, back to masculinity, not comic
well,
book.
Well, all right, now that you've kind of defined what you perceived as masculine, we now want to ask the question of, in your modern day and what you do and you see, how would you define masculinity in terms of what you experience?
In terms of what I personally experience?
Yeah, if the people who you interact with, what do you perceive as masculine from what you've experienced through people?
Well, I'd say that masculinity is it is to some degree an embodiment that you've also, much like in the bear community, we distinguish between a person's embodiment and their attitude, that it's a number of factors. For example, I would describe as a masculine quality a particular bluntness about things, mm-hmm. that a person not willing to pull punches. That is not to say that they're a complete jerk-ass, but they can get straight to the point.
Okay, what about, say, an emotion or lack thereof weaknesses, and rather showing stronger emotions such as aggressiveness or chivalry?
Well, that's an interesting... Sorry, you were just saying that's really interesting, that isn't showing emotion a negative and not a masculine attribute. And actually, that's actually quite the opposite. Showing emotions can be very masculine. Showing your courage, showing your passions. I mean, I'm not sure that anyone would argue that the people who support football and show their passion of their sport, love of sport, aren't masculine.
Okay, but is masculine also showing a level of weakness as well? Is masculine more showing the stronger points as opposed to their weaker points?
I think this is probably a topic that has been changing in the recent couple of years. I believe it used to be the case where to be masculine, you had to hide your weaknesses. You had to show the stiff upper lip and, you know, carry on and stuff like that.
But boys don't cry and so forth. Yes. Yeah,
I think that is changing. Modern day culture, it is completely acceptable for a man to cry.
Well, I think you're correct. And it is a fluid thing. We look at the 70s. The 70s are wonderful for showing us what masculinity was, because we look back then and you had the hairy chests and the stereotypical thick mustache, and that to then was masculine, whereas now we look back and say it's camp.
Mm-hmm.
So it does change. And you look in the 80s, and 80s and masculine was over muscular, and in the 90s it became a more lean muscular and shaved, and it does change.
Going back to what you were saying about feeling and emotion, Peter Hennen, who wrote the book Fairies, Bears and Leathermen, Men in Community, which was an anthropological study on the bear community, actually articulated such thing as the care ethic. That while of the bear subculture tries to emulate in a lot of ways the socially dominant middle class white bodied sexuality or gender, that this care ethic is being more in tune with one's sensations of touch, being more caring, that it's kind of heterosexual masculinity with a soft edge, I suppose.
And on that note, you are listening to Joy 94.9 with the Cubby House. We will be back to talk about females, trans, and the inclusion into the male-dominated subculture. You are with the three cubs of the Cubby House and our guest bear in to talk about all things masculine, female bears, trans bears. Can they be included in the dominant subculture? Perhaps we would like to know the question.
Rephrase it.
Rephrase that, please.
Fine. I was getting to the end of the sentence, which was the question we're asking you to answer on 0427JOY949. Or email onair@joy.org.au is...
What is your favourite masculine trait? That is our SMS topic.
And I'm going to have a go at saying that second topic again. So our next topic is females, trans, and the inclusion and their inclusion into a male-dominated subculture.
I mean, when you even the fact that we have to say female bears... That it naturalizes the idea that bears as an idea are exclusively masculine, that you even have to qualify it with lady bears or female bears.
Okay, so let's first start in terms of how is the bear culture that we know in Melbourne structured at the moment?
Well, you've certainly got a very much of a north and south division within at least the venues which are in Melbourne. You've got north of the Yarra, where you tend to have a Circuit, the Peel, the Laird Hotel, and those are the three major players.
That we know of, yes.
And then you've got south of the Yarra, where you've got the Exchange, you've got the Market.
Which is closing.
But
that we know of.
Of the three venues which are on the north side, you've got Circuit, you've got the Peel, and you've got the Laird Hotel. All three of those have exemptions from VCAT to exclude women from the premises, which they do exert and use to different degrees.
All right. So in terms of the bear culture, that's... Their home bar is known notably the Laird, as far as where they have their den nights. But outside of that, there's also other activities which aren't specifically bar nights, right? So there is a possibility for females to join the bears at different locations, correct?
Oh, yeah, that's certainly correct. Yes, just... few minutes of silence there. That VicBears as an organisation, it doesn't have any policies of its own that relate to gender. That if a female member wanted to join, that wouldn't be a problem. But they've always been discouraged because they've always felt that they wouldn't get value out of their membership.
Okay, now let me throw another little bit element of the point of what a bear would be. Bears are inclusive, correct? Of all body shapes and types, yes.
That is a value which is highly valued.
So let's combine those two arguments together and saying, is it exclusive not to include female and trans-identified people who also identify as bear into the community?
Kevin?
I'm going to pass on this one, Jack.
Now, we are deliberately posing this question because it is a loaded question, and I just quickly want to get an answer from us in the studio how we feel about it.
Actually, no, I respond. I am actually going to take this one on.
Woohoo!
There are a couple of different issues in there that you need to sort of separate. You can't just automatically say it's exclusive not to include them. You need to look at the community itself. Now, Melbourne Bears as a group have grown up and they have formed and they are a masculine male tribe. Mm-hmm. And I use the word tribe very loosely here. They don't purposely go out of their way to exclude females. It's just what they are, and they celebrate it. And
That is an interesting point, Kevin, because it is a celebration of manliness. And without trying to be exclusive to our female brethren, it is a club that specifically does have a masculine side to it. So then the question is, that I think we need to pose is, are there females present who are masculine enough in their attitude and using the definitions of masculine that may want inclusion with this or may want a similar club of their own?
Or would they identify as a bear if you kind of take it as in the definition as a person that's down to earth, comfortable with their body, welcoming and warm, and has that as a way of life, that definition doesn't hold gender boundaries.
I've just got this image of a nice big lesbian giving me a hug now. She's nice and welcoming and big breasts. No, anyway.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I believe that there can be female bears. I'm not saying that there can't be. I think there can be. I'm not saying there aren't. But whether they're here in Melbourne, please feel free to come out of the woodwork. Let us see you. I haven't seen you at any...
We mean tasteful clothed pics, mind you.
Yes. Now, the only reason why I'm posing this, and I want to refer back to Simpsons, because there was a classic episode of where the Stonecutters were mentioned, and they went around to the point where they excluded the character of Homer. Now, what I wanted to know is, in Melbourne, have we developed this culture where there is a no Homer club or essentially a no female club? In the way that the community has grown to this point.
Well, it's a bit of a weird example that you've kind of pulled out there, because a no Homer club, its exclusive premise for being is about what it's not, about not what it necessarily is.
Well, yes, but it basically is excluding the minority.
But the Bears didn't get together saying, "We don't want women."
It's not a no vagina club.
It was a case of they want to celebrate what they are.
Mm-hmm.
I said vagina.
But with the way that this issue is kind of tossed about, you do get an impression sometimes of misogyny and female intolerance at a low end. And
Jack, I'm going to stop you there for a second. You're going to have to define misogyny for us that don't know what it means.
Yes, please.
Misogyny is just the more an idea that that males should be higher preferenced than females is the best way to describe it, that in social order that men outrank women.
Oh, I don't necessarily the bear community is misogynist. I mean, it's not the fact that they... I'll talk about my own personal preference here. I don't think women outrank men. I just like men. And I find them sexy, so I tend to spend more time thinking about them as opposed to females.
Okay.
I'm not saying they're more important or higher ranking.
Well, if I may just bring up quickly, in the past, historically, the Vic Bears have attempted events where women were welcome. Specifically come to mind was a crossover with the Lesbian Cloggers Club,
mm-hmm.
where they did a country western dance night. And I can remember that actually was quite a successful evening. Everyone was there, had a great time, but unfortunately the interest wasn't there to pursue it.
So, in saying that there is a segregation, is that because we choose to participate in that segregation and not participate in a mixed crowd where there are venues that cater for the mixed groups?
Cookie, I have to ask, are you actively separating yourself from the female community?
No. not by choice, because I do have friends who I involve myself with, but the community is not in the way that they can all integrate into one group. And that's my perspective. Some people are quite the opposite.
Then is it an exclusion by inaction?
Perhaps.
Well, I think that in a lot of ways, that by involving yourself, that you're implicit in agreeing to this order.
I don't think it's an exclusion at all. I think it's the bear community doesn't go out of its way to exclude. It accepts, but it focuses on males, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. There are venues out there that if you want to associate, or if you want to go out and have a good night and have females present, you can go to those venues. I enjoy the fact that there's a venue that's male only. I find it's nice and refreshing to actually just hang out and be masculine and not have to worry about it. It doesn't stop me from going to the mixed venues as well when I want to go to it, and I don't see it as an exclusion. I don't particularly sit there and go, I don't want to hang out with women right now, so I'm going to go to this bar. It's a case of, I'm going to go and celebrate my bareness and just have fun.
Joy 94.9, you are with Cookie, Jack and Kevin on the Cubby House live. And in studio, we have got him in for as a guest, but I would just like to ask you, Ray, how do you feel now that you've heard your own questions, which we're about to play, about the accuracy of the questions we've asked you?
I will not admit or deny if I was on any other substances when I answered those.
And on that note, this is the Listener of the Week. It is Mr. Ray.
My name is Reginald III. No, my name is Raymond. I'm 36.
Okay. Available or unavailable?
Open for appointment.
If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
To have lots of superpowers.
Weirdest place you've had sex?
The first one that comes to mind was a playground at the back of a church with a bodybuilder.
What's your ideal employment?
One where I don't have to work.
Name one person you'd like to most have sex with.
I like lots of different people for lots of different reasons, and there isn't one definitive. You know, there's certain people have attributes that I find attractive in themselves, which in another person wouldn't work, so there isn't one.
What's your favourite item of clothing?
Jackets. Love jackets. And underwear, but I like underwear on other people too.
Sexually, what melts your butter?
Sincerity. Integrity? Nah, that will get you in the door. Tactile. Sex is about two bodies against each other.
Would you date yourself?
I'd probably fuck myself once and then think he's a cunt.
Name one thing you could not live without.
My right hand. Oh boy, I need that right hand.
And do you prefer organisation or chaos?
It depends if I'm in charge or not. I like organisation if I'm in charge.
Mm-hmm.
To the nth degree, I'm talking 10.A.B. points. But if I'm not in charge, disorganisation, baby.
How did you get involved in the bear community?
I discovered the bears community when I was very early. You were very young, came out the first time to the lead, and it was a Vic Bears night. And basically have been aware of the bears community from the very early days of Vic Bears, seeing them at the lead.
What do you get out of being in the bear community?
Friendship. It's a sense of community. It's a community that I feel I belong to, as opposed to the general larger gay community where I see a lot of people there that I don't think I've got much in common with at all.
And where do you see the bear community going?
I don't think the Australian bear community has changed a lot, because it's always been very accepting and very open. The memberships have changed over the years, but it still has the same belief of inclusion and acceptance. So in the future, I don't see it changing much more, because it's going to stay the same. It's going to be inclusive of everybody. It's still going to be welcoming to everybody.
Describe the first time you went into a gay bar.
The first time I went to the gay bar was to the lead, and I was petrified. I don't do new experiences very well. And so I'd actually met somebody off a sex phone line and got them to come in, to go in with me. Yeah, and the first time it was just I just sat against the wall and just looked around for an hour. Once I was there, I became comfortable after a while. But yeah, my first time I was very nervous, because I just don't do new experiences very well.
What are your hobbies?
Oh boy, where do we start? I have so many jobs at the moment. So working is my main hobby, I think. Outside of my work, I do gym work. I lift heavy weights. I get a lot of enjoyment out of that. You know, reaching the new goals, being able to lift heavier weights and so forth. And I got a very good gym partner, The Beast, who is very good. He's very good and motivates me. Other than that, I do amateur filmmaking, which I enjoy as well. But it's to do it well, you need to be very organised. And with my current production, I found that I had to be really, really organised and really work hard. So it was less of a let's have fun hobby and more of a let's work hard and get this done. But I'm proud of it, and it came up well. Other than that, I'm a little bit of a nerd and love my TV and my sci-fi and so forth.
So have your hobbies led you to meet new friends and new people?
Unfortunately, no. I did hope that my hobbies would lead me on to meet new people. But it tends that most of my hobbies tend to be a little bit insular. Like in gym, you're always training on your own or with one other person. With filmmaking, you don't meet other filmmakers unless you've got like a big film event to go to. I have dragged a lot of friends in socially to help with these things. But as to meeting new people in those social outlets, not really. And I'm a little bit disappointed about that.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Ray, for your input before you even came on air.
Any interest, please email help. Single man.
This is the Cubby House Project, the only show we can where we can make you a man in just 7 days. And it is 25 minutes to the hour. We've got some feedback on our SMS topic. What is your favourite masculine trait?
From Steve! Hello, Steve.
I like your enthusiasm.
From Steve, we get, my favourite masculine trait is speaking your mind regardless of whether people agree or not. Thank you very much, Steve.
Now, following on from what Kevin was saying before about areas of exclusion and inclusion, that it's the same mentality of which Fernwood gyms, Curves, and all female gyms. It's the same rhetoric, the same mentality that that the exclusion of men in those particular circumstances creates a particular environment which is preferable for people to feel comfortable in themselves and to work out.
Hang on, are they judgment? Are they dyke bars?
I would not know.
Is Fernwood a dyke bar?
No comment. I haven't been, so
oh, look, it's probably picking up there, comment. But anyway. Sorry, I digress.
Well, we haven't spoken about trans bears.
Yes, because our show today is Lady Bears, Trans Bears, and the Masculinity Issue on Joy 94.9.
And how do we feel about trans bears? Like, transitioning from male to female is one thing, but to incorporate that transition in a community.
Well, realistically, I don't see it as an issue, simply because you're not going to know until you go the grab. And does it really matter?
Personally, I don't think it does.
Well, the reason I ask is we actually had, we posed the question through our Facebook page on facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. And we actually had a message, if I can bring it up here, from one of our listeners, Kieran.
You may remember him from one of our shows about bears and age, our second live episode. You can find that on our website.
Now, trying to brief the letter he gave us, his experience came in when he went over to Auckland and he walked into the gay bar and saw someone who he identified as a very cute young cub, of whom he spent the evening with, being shown around the town, going to various locations, and he was on such a high, he wanted to ask the person back to have some fun for the evening. At which point the person turned around and said that they were actually a transitioning female to male. So while they physically looked on the surface a male, under the clothing they were still physically female. And it basically put Kieran in such a spin in terms of his own perception on his own sexuality. And the story ended up that they only caught up, had stayed friends and left at that, that I question how I feel personally as far as trans and the bear culture goes.
Well, then I pose you the question. Picture in your mind, and all of you at home, listeners at home can do this, picture the most masculine person you've ever imagined and just imagine that everything's there, the personality, the voice, everything, the build, and it's just that one little box at the front, the little black square that you can't quite see that's different. Does that black box define that person? Is the contents of that little black box at the front going to mean whether or not you're going to be attracted to them?
In gender studies, we've got a concept which is called passing, which in short is about a person's ability to be read as or to be perceived as one particular way over another. That I think that the issue of trans people in general, in every single aspect of their life, as is passing convincingly as the gender that they want to pass as, that if they don't get read the way that they want to, then that does raise issues, which is a reason why men transitioning to women tend to have such a hard time, because they're more oftenly being read as more masculine or male-like than female-like.
No, you're beautiful. Aww. Thank you very much for listening to Joy 94.9. We are the Cubby House Project with Kevin, Jack and Cookie. We've also got Ray in the studio, who's here to talk all things masculinity on tonight's show.
Now, we've been bouncing around quite a bit so far on this show, talking about trans bears, lady bears, and about sex. But I don't really think that we've kind of got to the nut of masculinity. I think that's something that we should probably explore just a little bit deeper.
What was that? Your nut?
Yes, we need to crack that nut.
He's going deeper.
Going deeper.
I'm just worried about the fact that if you rearrange those words, you're actually inviting people to explore your nut deeper.
Yes, it's a bit like Inception in a way. Just keep on going in. Just keep going deeper.
How far down do you go? I thought that was only Cookie.
There's at least 8 layers.
That's why you've got to tie the rope around your ankle so they can get you back out afterwards.
Oh, of course.
Now, one of the things that I've got listed on my sheet here, breaking the fourth wall of radio, is that we want to try and draw a distinction between a person's natural mannerisms and what is learnt from their social situations. In other words, is masculinity something that a person is born with? Or, as Lady Gaga would say, born this way? Or do they learn it?
Nature or nurture? Is masculinity nature or nurture?
It's a very clear dichotomy that you've got there.
Exactly. I'd like to quite openly say it's nurture. Quite simply, you can take elements of your own attitude, your own life, and apply a masculine or feminine role to all of them. And, you know, a lot of the boys, for instance, will say, you're a boy, so therefore you have to have blue in your room, and you're a girl, so you have to have pink in your room. And that's the starting point of a learnt response to an action, a thing, so forth.
So what does mauve make you?
Confused, but
that poor
it makes you fabulous.
It makes you wonderful. Interesting you bring that up, because then that also goes along with the idea that masculinity has changed over the ages.
True.
That it changes to suit the society that has it.
Exactly.
Or does society change to match the masculinity?
Either way.
I mean, when you think about, when you go back in your history books, particularly to, say, 18th century France, when the epitome of manliness is a very, what we would consider very effeminate, that you've got a person that takes very great care of their personal appearance, that you've got to have concerns or interest in the more refined pursuits in life, including art, culture, opera.
God damn it, I'm a man and I'll wear pantaloons.
Damn right. But that just goes to show that masculinity not only varies particularly from culture to culture, but also within the same culture throughout time. But also, I'd also make the argument that masculinity, or at least expression of gender, is fluid also on a day to, just throughout our day-to-day goings on, that the masculinity that I would exhibit while I'm out at a club or a hotel will be different to the one that I'd say putting on my shirt in the morning, or the one where I'm writing an essay, that they're just different masculinities which are being exhibited.
Well, that actually brings up one of the words that I've been avoiding so far tonight, and it's the scary gay word for masculinity. Butch.
Now, why is that? You discussed this with me in private, but explain.
Well, once you got dressed, I was explaining it that as far as butch is sort of the gay version of masculine that is put on and isn't so much a natural masculinity, but almost a drag masculinity. I'm being butch. You have to, it's almost a costume to pretend to be masculine. And unfortunately, I think butch is a word that's just going to be forever associated with a fake masculinity.
I mean, one of the things that was highlighted by Peter Hennen in his anthropological book on bears was that it was a strike two. I've mentioned the book twice. I've got three strikes,
I'm counting.
I'm out. But he highlighted,
he's going to take his belt off.
He highlighted that it was a rather peculiar situation where you've got these bears, which are middle-aged men, that they're in middle class to not upper class, but middle class. Office jobs particularly, and on weekends they work with software during the day, but at night they put on flannelette and sand boots and present a very much a working class masculinity that these people probably haven't stepped into the woods in ever, yet they're dressing and emulating lumberjacks.
Excuse me, viewers, listeners, while I smack Jack around a bit.
What?
as an office worker who works in a timber yard on the weekend...
I wasn't referring to you specifically. I was just...
Ray, the world does not revolve around you.
Wait, what?
Well, all right, let me ask you. Is that kind of pursuing a dream of ultimate masculinity that you're perceiving yourself as, say, Tom of Finland sort of esque style of person when you're out and about and trying to showcase yourself to potential playmates, relationships, etc., friends. But in other situations, you're actually quite the opposite or not as masculine as you're perceiving yourself.
Well, I think that goes to the point that identity in a lot of ways is transitive, that who you are in a lot of ways is context dependent.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I was going to say, I think what you described then, Cookie, is exactly sort of what's coming out from the Butch point of view, is it's when the masculinity stops becoming a natural part of yourself. It's not an extension of yourself. It's a costume you put on. And as I said, Butch is a good name for a cartoon bulldog, but it's not a good way to describe a man.
So on the flip side, do you think someone can be that masculine and when they, say, go to work or with their family, they almost have to water it down?
God damn it, yes. And where are those men? I'll have one. No. No, look, there probably men are. There are men out there like that. They work on the oil rigs. They work in timber mills. And we try to pretend to be them when we're trying to be masculine and overstating it. But they're around. They're just hidden, I guess.
I think you guys are making a classic mistake there where you're all talking about office workers as though they're not masculine. I happen to know a lot of office workers that are incredibly masculine. The building I work in, I know I want to jump most of them because there is nothing sexier than a man in a good fitting suit that suits his body, good colours, compliments him. Wow.
You're making the assumption that we are talking about office workers.
I'm just
because
thinking what you guys are talking about.
The reason I ask is the same thing could be said of myself. I'm in a very blue-collar workplace, but I am actually more masculine when I'm around the bears than I am at work. you may wonder about that. And we're going to be dedicating that big, thick moustache to Shane in Mentone, who called in to say, a wonderful show. Thank you very much.
That's so nice. That's our first caller.
I think Shane must have a big, thick moustache.
Well, speaking of people with moustaches and beer for the sake of it, thank you very much for coming in, Ray.
Thank you very much for me being had.
Thank you.
Now, I feel as though we've barely touched the surface of this particular issue. Just 1 hour isn't enough. We need the Cubby House 3-hour block.
You need more touching.
More touching.
All of which you can do on our blog, if you like, which is at thecubbyhouse.net.au.
Or you can find us on Facebook. That's Facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. Like it. I like it. You like it too.
We have actually reached more than 100 likes, so please keep in mind there will be a hilariously funny photo coming shortly.
All due to the wonderful efforts of Kevin and his Canon.
And I would like to say I got the first female like.
Woohoo! And there wasn't there more than a female? Was there a...
I hear there was another sort of...
There was a puppy dog too.
Oh.
And I mean, I totally count votes where I've had to, you know, stand over the person and say, like us on Facebook right now.
I'm just actually surprised at the puppy's dexterous paws.
It's a gay puppy. Are you really surprised?
okay.
Now, I'd like to dedicate this particular show to all the lady bears that are out there who are part of the committees all around the world, just making, contributing your thing and being out there and having a visible place. Unfortunately, I couldn't get any of you in time for this particular program, but if we touch upon this again, I'm sure that we'll get you on. But next week on our show, on the Cubby House Live, it is Take a Look at My Awesome Job. That's the show. We're going to be looking at people and their awesome jobs.
I've actually found a new person who I might let leak throughout the week as to who it might be. A very, very interesting vocation of all things.
So it's kind of like Dirty Jobs, only hairier, beefier, and butcher, to use your word.
I like the idea of Dirty Jobs.
I'm going to personally go through every single podcast now and try and use butch in a sentence to liquidate it.
No, we haven't mentioned Kathy Bates in this episode yet.
Oh, Jack, did you get laid this week?
I have not gotten laid this week.
Well, you haven't learned your lesson, have you?
Now, on that issue...
well, I bet that Kathy Bates is available.
Ray and Jack, please shut up, because I would like to thank all the people who have been listening to this show and to all those who have SMS'd and emailed in here at the studio. If you'd like to contact us throughout the week, it is podcast@thecubbyhouse.net.au. But for tonight, the 9th of May, good night from Cookie.
I'm Jack.
I'm Kevin.
We are The Cubby House Live. Catch you next week.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.